Revelation chapter 10, verse 5 through 11. This is the reading of God's word. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to servants, his servants, the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me, and saying, go take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book, and he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And in my mouth it was sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the heavenly manna that you faithfully give it to us. Nourish our spirits so that we may be healthy spiritually, loving you with everything we have. Oh, Father, as we hear your word, let us be more and more like your Son. And with increasing faith that you bless us with, let us be faithful to you. Faithful to the purpose that you have given to your church, so that we may bring glory and honor to you. We pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Bless your people and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We saw through seven seals, God is judging the world, and between sixth and seventh seal, we saw in chapter 7 an interlude. In that chapter, we saw what happens in heaven. So, through the seven seals, God shows us what is happening in this world. But between the sixth and seventh seal, then he shows us what happens in heaven. We see the similar thing in seven trumpets. Through the seven trumpets, we see God is judging this world. But again, between sixth and seventh trumpets, which is chapter 10 and chapter 11, verse 1 through 14, we see what happens in the church in this world. So contrast is what happens to this world and what happens in the church in this world. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is resurrected from the dead and who now rules over all creations, places his right foot on the sea, and his left on the land. He is the owner and the master of all things, and he is the king over all creation. this stepping on the land, stepping on the sea, it shows that he is the master, he is the owner, he possesses everything. And he reigns over all. And last time we saw that he himself has sworn that there will be delay no longer. All of God's plan will be fulfilled exactly according to his will. Verse 7 says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, when the seventh trumpet is sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets. All the plans of God that he revealed to his people through his prophets, meaning through the word of God, all of God's plan will be fulfilled exactly according to what he has told us already in the Bible. You and I are called to trust this God who has promised us. We must believe him. We must believe in him. Yes, the world will mock us, and the people will say to us, where is your God? They will say to us things like, if your God, who you say is almighty and good, if he is alive, then why do these terrible things happen in this world? Is God sleeping? You have the answer. Because God has revealed to you through his word what he is doing. No, he is not sleeping. God has told us through his word, he has told us exactly what would happen. And from the book of Revelation, we get the answer. God is judging this sinful world. He is judging it. And that is exactly what we see happening in the world. It is exactly same thing as what we read in his Bible. So don't be alarmed. Don't be surprised. Don't wonder. Because God has already revealed it to you. He showed you through his word. And this is very important for us. We need to know what is going on. We need to understand what is really going on. Now, I told you that we're looking at the interlude again. Now, through seven trumpets, then we see how God is judging the world and non-believers. But here in chapter 10 and chapter 11, verse 1 through 14, we will see what happens in the church who is in this world. Verse 8, then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me, and saying, go, take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And in my mouth it was sweet as honey, and when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. this John was commanded to go take the book which is open in the hand of the angel. John goes to the angel and tells him to give the little book. And he was told, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. What are we looking at? Again, remember, we are looking at what is happening to the church in this world. The little book. Obviously, this book is related to the book that we saw in chapter 5. Do you remember in chapter 5, the book that Jesus took from God? All the plans of God is written in that book. God's word is written in it. In chapter 5, we saw that the book was sealed up with 7 seals. And only Jesus is worthy to open those seals. So we see that Jesus is the one who reveals God's plan. And he is the one who carries out God's plan. To be worthy to open those seals and really open the book, it shows that he is the only one who is worthy to reveal God's will. And he is the only one who actually carries out that will of God. And that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ does. But here in chapter 10, we see a little book, or the smaller version of the book we saw in chapter 5. So what are we looking at? In chapter 5, we saw Jesus Christ taking the book out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. Here, in chapter 10, we see John taking the little book and eating it. What's going on? John is called by God, and he is sent by God as his prophet. If you read verse 11, it becomes very clear. You must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. John was called and John was commanded to eat this book. Then he is commanded to go out and preach it. You must prophesy. Now, when we use the word prophesy, we are not referring to a fortune teller. You know, when the world uses this word, that's how they use it. When you prophesy the future, it's a fortune teller. When Bible uses the word prophesying, it is referring to the revelation of God. It refers to proclaiming the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, let us go there together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. It says, but know this first of all, that no prophecy, again the word prophecy there, if you substitute that with the revelation or the word of God, then you are understanding in a correct way. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. It's the revelation of God. And He reveals His will through His Word. That's why we call the Bible revelation of God. He is revealing Himself to us. Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they also had the similar experiences. Let us go to Ezekiel then. Ezekiel chapter 2. Their Ezekiel and Jeremiah, their experience will help us understand what is happening to John in Book of Revelation. Ezekiel chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 8. Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you. Again, command is to eat. Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. A book was given. Because in those old times, they didn't have book like ours. Everything was written on a scroll. So here, you see, a book was given to Ezekiel. Verse 10, when he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he fed me this scroll. He said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. Again, Ezekiel, after eating the book, he is sent as a prophet of God to bring God's word to his people. Ezekiel, who ate this book, his mission is to bring God's word to the people of God. So you eat the book and you preach the content of that book. Well, Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 10 explained to us what this eating the book really means. There, son of man, take into your heart all my words which I will speak to you and listen closely. So, previous verses says, eat this book. And later it says, take into your heart all my words. Obviously, this book contains Word of God. And eating this book is same thing as hearing it and taking in to your heart the Word of God. And what is the content, the message of God's Word is the message of God's judgment and salvation. The Bible refers to taking God's Word into our heart as eating the Word. And this eating is used many times in the Bible to refer to taking it in, the Word of God, into our hearts. Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone. Bread, you eat to survive. But you don't survive, you don't live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So again, the reference is eating the word. That's why the Bible says that New Christians are like babies. Excuse me. Why? Because babies, they crave milk. Just like it, new Christians crave the Word of God. So babies eat milk, and Christians, we eat Word of God. So John is commanded to eat and proclaim. Ezekiel is commanded to eat and proclaim. Eat and prophesy. So that is what we're seeing. John is to eat the book, the Word of God. And here, eating the book, the Word of God, he is to identify himself with the Word of God. The Word of God becomes a part of him. It becomes the center. Eat God's Word and digest completely. You get the picture. You have hear the Word of God and understood it and believe it. And John is sent as a prophet of God to witness the Word of God. Not only with his word, but also with his life. And that is exactly what is happening to John in our passage. But remember, here in our passage, a John is a representative. He's representing the church. He is a symbol of the church. Because the same command is given to the church, to you. Eat and proclaim. Church is to hear the Word of God, and church is to go out and preach the Word of God. This is the mission that God gives to the church. And we see that reality in John, in our passage. You need to understand the purpose of church in this world. What is God commanding the church to do? If you do not understand God's purpose that he gives to the church, then whatever you will be doing as a church will not be according to his will, which is a great sin. Brothers and sisters, God does not leave us alone so that we could figure out his will on our own strength. He has given us his word. The Bible is given to us so that we may know his will, so that we may be able to obey what it says, so that we may obey God. Christianity is not about inventing ourselves the way to worship and way to please God. It really doesn't matter what you think or what I think. What matters is what the Bible says, because that's the Word of God. And we are called to eat it, and we are called to now go and proclaim it. And we will see in chapter 11 two witnesses who are representing the church. To them, this command is given. Chapter 11, verse 3. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy. Again, same thing. The two witnesses in chapter 11, they represent the church, and the same command is given to the church. Go and prophesy. They will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Clothed in sackcloth, what's the picture? These two witnesses are the prophets of God. Prophets, they wear this kind of clothing in the Old Testament. You get the symbolism there. For how long are they to prophesy? 1260 days. If you count this, this is 3.5 years. And those of you who studied God, heaven, and Armageddon with me, we saw this already. Right? Times, there are 3.5 times. Times and a half. Meaning there are 3.5 times. 3.5. We saw this, and next time we'll get into that a little bit more detail because we need to deal with these numbers. But we saw that 3.5 times, referring to the church age, 3.5 years. But 3.5 years, if you count in terms of days, it will be 1260 days. And sometimes in the Bible, you will see a number 48 months. Guess what? 48 months are the same duration. 3.5 years or 1260 days. It's all referring to the same period, which is the church period. So two witnesses, the church, is given the authority to proclaim, to prophesy, for how long? For whole church age. What happens to John has happened to the church. All of God's people are God's prophets. You are God's witnesses. You are God's martyrs. The church is called to eat God's word and prophesy. Do you see it? Do you see the main purpose of the church of Christ? We are to take into our hearts God's word, and we are to preach God's word. We are to prophesy. We are to witness God's word. We are to witness Jesus Christ. The content of our preaching is Jesus Christ and His judgment and His salvation. We must preach God's word and His word only. And this is the primary purpose of the church of Christ. Church must preach the truth. If church does not preach the truth, the word of God, then it is no longer a church. And he says, in our mouth, the book, it will be sweet as honey. Yes, God's word is indeed sweet. God's word, which proclaims Jesus Christ our Lord, is indeed sweet as honey to us. And I pray to God that you understand what I'm talking about when I say the word of God is sweet as honey. I pray that you have this experience. It tells us, the word of God, tells us of our Lord Jesus, whom we love, and the beautiful story of His salvation for us. It tells us what he has done and accomplished for us. Even his judgment is sweet to us. It completely reveals the glory of God, the righteousness and holiness and justice of God. It completely vindicates our Lord and his people who believe in him. Of course, we do not want anyone to perish by God's judgment. But when the final judgment comes, we will rejoice in God. Yes, even in his judgment, we will rejoice. God's word is indeed sweet to us. Psalm 19 verse 10, they, the law of the Lord, or the word of God, they are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Psalm 119 verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. But it says it will make your stomach bitter. Church is to receive God's word, and as church receives God's word, it is sweet. But at the same time, it is bitter. Now, what is God telling us? Sweet in the mouth, but bitter in our stomach. Some say that here the word bitter is referring to the content of the message, since they are about the judgment of God. But we already have seen that God's word about his judgment is also sweet to us. So it cannot be that. Here, making our stomach bitter refers to the sufferings and the persecutions that the church are to receive as it proclaims the word of God. So you see a picture of church in John. He receives this book. It is sweet in his mouth, but it is bitter in his stomach. Church receives God's word, and we rejoice. It is so sweet. But now the life according to that word is bitter in this world. Understand, God shows us what kind of life that church will live here on earth. That's why I keep telling you that no non-Christians will follow the word of God. Why would they if this is what the word says? Why would they want to suffer for something they do not believe? But for Christians, it's different. We understand what is really going on. God tells you, you know, don't be surprised when you find yourself suffering and being persecuted because you want to obey God. Don't be surprised. God already told you. And God tells you even now, count your losses. Calculate what you think you will gain in Christ and what you think you have to forsake. Count them. And if a prophet doesn't show, then why would you follow him? See, I have counted. And following Jesus sometimes means I have to forsake everything that I have in this world. But I also know what I'm gaining in Christ. And when I compare these losses and gain, it's no comparison. I receive far greater things then everything that I have to forsake. Yes, it's profitable for me to follow Jesus. Even sufferings are profit to me. Because to suffer for Christ is to participate in His life. I want to be like Him. That is my desire and goal and purpose, to be like my Savior. Understand, the word of God that we preach is not something that the world likes. Actually, the world hates it. Why would they like the message that says that they are going to be judged by God if they do not believe in Jesus Christ? Why would they like that? That's why so many churches now, they change the gospel. They change gospel into something that is not gospel so that world will like it. But the world hates the gospel. The world hates Jesus Christ. You saw what happened to Jesus. If the world loved Jesus, why would they capture him and kill him? See, some people just don't get it. They think that when we go out and preach the gospel, the whole world will love it and they will just follow you. Look at what, even when Jesus himself was here, when he himself was preaching, people did not like it. They seek to kill him. And eventually they did. I mean, if whatever Jesus was speaking was so sweet to what their ears, when world hears what Jesus is speaking, why would they want it to kill Jesus? Obviously, they did not like it. They did not like him. And now we say we follow Jesus and we expect world to like us. How can you come to that conclusion? How? The same world who hated Jesus hates us because we are the followers of Jesus Christ. See, this is not popular message. But if this is not popular message, then what Bible says is not popular message, because this is what the Bible says. It's bitter in our stomach. But we understand what is awaiting for us. And even suffering itself, we understand what it means. It is glorious life that God is calling us to live. God wants church to live out the very life of Jesus Christ. God's purpose for the church is to be like Christ. Do you understand that if you are a Christian, God's will for you is so that you will be like Christ? And if you say you're Christian and you sit there and say, no, I don't like what God wants me to be, then there's something really wrong with that picture. But non-Christians, of course they're not going to like it. Why would they suffer for Jesus? Why would they die for Jesus? Why? It's nonsense to them. I mean, if we tell them that Jesus will make them rich, then we understand why would they even follow Jesus or say that they will follow. But if to follow Jesus is to suffer, why would they follow? They don't even believe that he is God. They don't even believe in him. Do you see why churches, they change the gospel? Do you see why? More and more, the world will reject and deny God. And you see that more and more in this world. The sins of the world must be filled up before God finally judges the world. Do you remember what God says to Abraham in Genesis? God says to Abraham that your descendants will have the promised land, but you need to wait. You're not going to receive that promised land right now. Why? God says. God says their sins are not filled up yet. So God waits so that people who are living at the promised land, they sin against God more and more, just like this world, they're sinning against God. And one day, the sins of the world is filled up. And that's when God judges finally. So you understand that even as God is judging this world does not repent. And it will keep on sinning more and more, and one day that sins of this world will be filled up. Finally reached the level where God now says, finally I will judge this world. So, you have to really, really understand what is going on. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you know, to me, all of you are so precious. Because as a pastor, there's not that many churches that I could go to and preach this. They're just not going to hear it. But you hear me. You hear this message. And you accept. That's why you are so precious to me. Not many will listen to the message of this church. I have no misunderstanding whatsoever. Our church will not be successful in a worldly way. It will never be big. No, actually, my expectation is that our church will be destroyed. Just like Jesus Christ. It's not that Jesus has failed. It's not that Jesus did not do well in what he was doing and yet he is completely destroyed in this world. But understand, his victory is through his death and suffering. And if God blesses Christ and heaven with that same blessing that Jesus, then we will not be successful in this world. And it is okay. No, actually, it's better than okay. Then nobody will remember me or you or this church a couple generations later. But it's still okay. Because what matters is what God receives. And look at the true picture of the true church that God gives to us in His Word. Man, if you just don't get anything else, get this. The church is called to live the very life that her Lord has lived. That's the purpose of the church. We are to witness Christ, not just with our lips, but as how we live. Jesus Christ, our Lord and God, in chapter 5, we see Him taking the book out of the right hand of God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But you remember, He is also a Lamb who is slain. Only person who is worthy. But He has earned that worthiness through His life of suffering and death. Now, the smaller version of the book is given to the church. Do you see the parallel? Here's Jesus receiving the book. Here's church receiving the book from Jesus, but it's a smaller version. The mission is same thing. Whatever God commanded Jesus to do is exactly what God commands the church to do. We are to imitate Christ. The smaller version of the book is given to the church. Not that the church is worthy in and of itself to receive the book, but through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ, we have been made worthy. His church is called to participate in the sufferings of her Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. How was the victory of the Lion attained? Through the sufferings and death of the Lamb. Yes, we will be victorious. We are already victorious, but that victory is the victory of Jesus Christ, and He earned that victory through sufferings and death. We are called to participate in the sufferings of Christ. Romans 8, verse 36, just as it is written, For your sake, for God's sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And that is how Jesus was considered. Sheep to be slaughtered. But remember that we receive, what we receive is the smaller version. Thus, smaller sufferings and smaller persecutions compared to our Lord Jesus Christ. He does not give us anything that we cannot endure. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us, no temptation is given which we cannot endure. Yes, smaller version is given to us. The way of the cross is the way of victory. John chapter 16, verse 33b, In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Acts chapter 14, verse 22b, Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Do you see the pattern? The sufferings here on earth and the glory in heaven. When you look at Jesus, his life, what do you see? What pattern do you see? Sufferings here, glory in heaven. Yes. This is the exact pattern of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is our pattern. In chapter 11, we will see two witnesses who symbolize the church. And this is what will happen to them there. Let us go there and read. Revelation 11, verse 7 and 8. Chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. Symbolical language. Alright? You keep that in mind. And these two witnesses, we'll look at it later, they represent the church, and this is what happens to them. Verse 7. When they have finished their testimony, church is to prophesy, so they, when they finish the testimony, the beast that comes up out of abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. Church is killed. Two witnesses are killed. It shows the sufferings and death that the church goes through in this world. The true church I'm talking about, not the false churches. Because if you preach false things, you will not be persecuted. Because the world likes you. And verse 8, and their dead bodies will be in the street of the great city, which mystically or allegorically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord were crucified. What? Look. It is so amazing to me that symbolically God describes the life of church. And then what happens to church? Church dies where? The same place where Jesus died. Do you see what God is trying to tell us? Do you understand the Word of God? What an honor for church. The church lives the very life of Jesus Christ. And this is the joy that we have. That God considers us worthy to imitate Christ. To be like Christ. To live the very life of Christ. Again, the message is to his people. Because the world will never accept this message. It will always reject it. John chapter 12, verse 24 through 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to his eternal life. Life eternal. Remember, we have received an open book. Now, the book that we receive is open, meaning all has been revealed. God has told us exactly what would happen to the church in this world already. Don't be alarmed. Don't be surprised. The church age is the spiritual kingdom age. But it is at the same time also the seven-year tribulation age. But the way of the cross is the way of the glory and victory. For us to participate in the sufferings of Jesus Christ is joy and honor. Paul in Philippians 3 desires to know, chapter 3, verse 10b, the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Did you hear what Paul says? He desires to know the fellowship of his sufferings, conforming to his death. Daniel chapter 12 verse 7b says, "And as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed." The language there, as the world finish shattering the power of the holy people, then all these things will happen, completed. The church dies and bears much fruit. When Jesus was dying on the cross, the Satan probably thought that he was victorious. But in actuality, Jesus defeats the Satan through death and resurrection. And the church does the same. As the church eats the book and proclaims the word, as she witnesses Jesus Christ, the world will hate her. The world will desire to kill the church. And when the church seemed to be dead, when it seemed that the world has the victory, Jesus will return and the perfect victory will be given to the church. The church will resurrect to glory. You know, there is this power in this world which seek to kill the church. We believe in God, but we also believe that there is Satan. And Satan is not sleeping. He's working also. And his main purpose is to destroy the church. But see, God uses Satan, God uses Judas to kill Jesus, but at the same time, that is way to victory. God uses Satan and this world to kill the church. And it seemed like at the end that the world has won. But no. Jesus will return and clearly reveal to everyone to see who has the true victory. God does. Jesus does. Do you understand the will of God, this amazing will that God has for us? I don't know. Man, to me, God is just awesome. You know, the way that he carries out his plan, the way that he brings about the victory, it is just amazing to me. He does in a way that the world will never accept. He does in a way that the world will never, never approve. That's just, it makes me so excited. I hope you are excited also. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? We, the church, live the same life as our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we live the very life of our God. We preach His word. We witness Jesus Christ. We proclaim His judgment and salvation. And as we do it, we will be persecuted and mocked and be rejected. We will suffer in this world. But all of these things has to pass. Through these things, we will have the victory. The way of cross is the way of glory and victory in Jesus Christ. Thus, Jesus accomplished the victory through his sufferings and death. We desire to know these things. We desire to know the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Let me read a couple of verses and then we'll finish. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life." Chapter 12, verse 11, "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. Romans, one more passage and we'll finish. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sore? You know, God is not saying when you trust Jesus Christ that no tribulation will come, no distress will come, no persecution will come. That is not what God is saying. God is saying that these things will come. But who will separate us from the love of God? Will tribulation? No. Even when tribulation comes, it is not a proof that His love for us is separated. We are separated from His love. No. Will tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness or peril or sore, all these things will come in our lives, but it is not a proof that His love for us is no longer. Just as written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquered through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the prophets of God, you have received a small book from our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have eaten the book. Yes, it is indeed sweet, sweeter than the dripping honeycomb, but we live a life of bitter in our stomach. But we live that life, that witness that we have eternal life. The eternal life with God in heaven where there is no bitterness forever and ever. Let us understand from chapter 10. What is a true picture of church in this world? What did God command us? What has happened to the church in this world? Let us understand so that we may do exactly what God told us, so that we will carry out His will to bring glory and honor to Him. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for giving us this awesome opportunity to be like Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You that You treat us as worthy people to share the sufferings of Your Son, Jesus Christ. O Father, bless us that we may know Your will from Your word. Let us truly desire to be faithful to Your word, to obey, to bring glory and honor to You, to glorify You, to love You with everything we have. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.